Welcome to Color Me Green, a podcast focused on making the world a greener place. We have a very exciting episode coming today. I've only done one other like this before, and I don't plan on stopping anytime soon. I'm not sure about you, but I love interview episodes. There are so many amazing people, businesses, and products out there that deserve to be shared with the world. When I found out about today's business we are discussing, I knew I had to feature it on the show. So today we are talking to Justin Moran, one of the co-founders of a wine company with an amazing mission, The Hidden Sea. The Hidden Sea is a company that not only makes amazing wine, but they make wine with a purpose. Reds, whites, and rosé, they have it all, and with every bottle sold, they remove and recycle 10 plastic bottles from the ocean. They even set a goal to remove and recycle 1 billion single-use plastic bottles from the ocean by 2030. I am never going to stop repeating how much I hate plastic bottles, so please head on over to their link in the show notes and get a few bottles of wine for yourself, your family, your friends. I personally love the white, my friends love the red, there's something for everyone, and now I even have wine to serve when people come over. And I'm going to add that to the list of the most adult phrases I have ever said. The Hidden Sea isn't just removing plastic from the ocean. As we all know, that can't be the only steps a company takes to helping out the planet. And I love everything this company is doing. A few of those things being that their winery in Australia is solar powered and working toward being carbon neutral by 2022. Their wastewater at their winery is recycled, and their waste is composted. Their glass wine bottles are infinitely recyclable without any compromise on quality. Their labels are laser printed using organic water-based inks, and the color is burned off in the recycling process. And last, what I absolutely love is supporting other sustainable businesses. And they are doing just that. Their cartons are cardboard and sourced through manufacturers that only use sustainable and recyclable materials. I could go on and on about this amazing company and their mission, but let's get into the interview portion of this episode and let Justin tell you a little more. So, hi, Justin. Thank you for joining me on Color Me Green.
Hey, Paige. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself outside of your work before we get into you as a businessman?
Yeah, me outside, well, life's a journey, right? You go through different phases. It's completely different to what it was a few years ago. I'm a doting father of two girls. I have a seven-year-old and next Sunday, another one that turns five. So I've got two young girls, and provides extreme motivation to push ahead with why we do what we do at the Hidden Sea.
Family is like the big motivator, because I totally get it. I mean, I don't have kids, but when I got my cat, I was like, yes, everything I do is for her. And that's like the big motivator behind like everything that you do.
It's funny. There's a great saying: you can judge a man or a woman for that matter by the way his animal, dog, cat, or children react to him when he walks into the room.
Oh, I love that.
And to your point, then, I had a dog now 10 years ago, 12 years ago. Started in Australia, came to Europe with me. He was 60 kilos. He was a big dog, and ended up in New York where he died in 2017, Christmas, just before we moved back, which was unfortunate. But I always judge people on how they treat their animals. So it is part of your family. It's not a pet for Christmas. So, yeah, it's nice to meet your cat a second ago.
Started misbehaving. Which she does all the time. So as you know, Color Me Green is all about sustainability and focuses on making the world a greener place. So can you tell me a little about when your sustainable journey started and what exactly sparked it? Was it something that you started with the Hidden Sea, or was it something you were passionate about before that?
Yeah, it's an evolution, right? And I say to young budding entrepreneurs, when they ask me questions about getting started, well, how do I start a business? I just get started, just put one foot in front of the other. And that's been a little bit similar to my Sustainability journey is probably the word I like to use the most. And I'll go back until my teens, spent a lot of time in the water, both inland lakes and by the beach. And being from the southern part of Australia, we've got pristine, some of the best beaches and waterways in the world, because we're so far removed from most of the larger continents, as you're well aware. And then I started traveling late teens, like 18, 19, 20, and then I slowly saw the destruction of our environment, particularly in the waterways from surfing and so forth, from plastic. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And watching, especially in beautiful third world countries like through Thailand and places like that, you'd see how the locals would treat their area. I was horrified by, still sticks into my mind, by dead fish in the port of Phuket when I was in my early 20s. And then I went to PP and I was like, this is paradise. And I was watching the influx of tourists and the lack of awareness, I wouldn't say care, by both tourists and locals, how they were treating it. And then I went back 10 years later and I saw a different place. And that's been really my journey along the way. And you start to educate yourself. And I've got a saying, those who have the ability have the responsibility to do well. And I saw something and it'd be remiss of me not to act in some way. And I'll elaborate on that as we keep talking, Paige.
I've never been able to really travel the world. So I can only speak for what I see in America. And I've never really seen, I guess, a very polluted ocean, but I've seen other parts of the world that do look like that through like social media. And the fact that you like see that, is I don't know what I would be able to do, because my heart just breaks every single time that like I see it, even online. Seeing that in person, I would want to do everything that I can. And I actually just posted another episode today while it's Wednesday when we're recording this, and there were like five or six myths about sustainability. And one of the ones that I absolutely loved, I believe was the last one, is that not one person, or that nobody can really make a difference. And I made a big fact of the point that anyone can make a difference. And it just takes one person to start a change. And I really admire that you saw that and that you actually moved forward and did something to try to make a change.
Yeah, thanks, Paige. So much in what you just said there. We need to protect what remains. Most of the positive or negative things about that being brought about change in human civilization starts with someone. Although no one can do everything, everyone can do something. So it starts with someone, to your point, Paige.
Yeah, I also made a point there that it's better to have a few people doing something imperfectly, but at least still trying, than just one or two people doing it perfectly.
1,000%, because none of us in any stage of our life can do something perfect. And this is what the greenwashing, I get asked about it all the time. I did an interview with the Times in the UK, arguably one of the world's leading newspapers, and they asked me about greenwashing. And I'm like, I don't want to go down that path, because we should be encouraging even the big polluters to be doing things, and slowly these big ships will get it right. We will get it right if we keep putting up the pressure. So I couldn't agree more with that statement. And the same with the evolution of our business. If I look back 10 years ago, how we started to try to start a sustainable winery, then when we launched our brand and at the evolution of the Hidden Seed, you know, where we were then, and people say, oh, people can copy you. Well, good, go and copy us. But we're not looking about what we did today or yesterday. We're looking about how we can do things differently down the track. And we touched on it before the call regarding Tetra Paks, and you know, we don't need plastic caps, but plastic caps made out of sugarcane, and they're the type of evolutions we're talking about. We're one of the first, going off on a side note, one of the first wineries in the world, I think we're the first, actually monitoring the carbon we're pulling out of the air via our vines into our soil, and how we're cleaning the carbon through our vines, and it's called carbon sequestering. Just for the simple fact of having vines So, you know, there's things like that for what we're doing with our trellis thing, all the way through to what we do with our promise. And our promise is what the one bottle of Hidden Sea Salt equals 10 bottles out of 10 plastic bottles out of the ocean is what we tell the world. However, if you pull back the onion skin with our brand, everything matters from both our vineyards, our human element, both collecting plastic and our humans in our vineyards and our winery, all the way through to what we do with our profits, because it goes back to if you've got the ability, you have the responsibility to do right.
I love that. I love that. That quote will be like the motto of this episode. I love that. In the beginning of the episode, I put in a little background on the Hidden Sea, but can you tell me more on how it came to be, how it started, how you got the idea?
Yeah, sure. I'm going to tell you the version, which is going to sound very clean and that we're really smart. I can assure all your listeners, I usually say I'm the dumbest person in the room. It sounds great now, but it's been just trial and error. With a motive and a motivation, which is pure. But basically, I think all brands should be asking themselves three questions. What change are you seeking to make? Who is it for? And what's your promise? And that's for the smallest possible audience for you to be viable. Don't worry about taking on the world and conquering every market. And, you know, we've come a long way from a small wine brand into multiple markets around the world, but that's how you should start. What change are we seeking to make? It's very simple. One wine, one mission: to remove plastic from the world's ocean. Who's our product for? Who's the Hidden Sea for? It's for socially conscious consumers. We say we make premium wines that matter for people that care. And that's, Pace, this is not just about the Hidden Sea creating change. It's much about empowering our consumers to make change happen and allowing them to feel a part of something bigger than themselves. And that what promise is really, a promise is really important, because we can be held accountable then. By drinking one bottle of the Hidden Sea, we will remove the equivalent of 16 ounce single use plastic water bottles out of the ocean. And how we galvanize our movement, because at the Hidden Sea, we're not creating another drinking moment. We're creating the movement, which separates us from a lot of beverages, but especially all other wine brands. By 2030, we've put ourselves out there with help from our consumers, ambassadors, market partners, retailers, and great people like yourself, Paige. We aim to remove 1 billion single-use plastic water bottles out of the ocean. So why the ocean? Why plastic? Well, the plastic part is very simple. That's what I physically saw in our oceans around the world. There's a great video that was sent to us from a consumer. It's on our Instagram. I think we reshared it, that he was in the Maldives, and that the amount of, it's paradise on earth, right? And the Maldives, was so much plastic just outside where the villas and where the people can see, go around the back of the island. It is just like literally like a plastic dump. So that's the plastic angle. But why the ocean? Well, our brand's been linked to the ocean since the very beginning. Where our vineyards lie, our provenance in the southern part of South Australia, was once the old sea. You know, a series of ice ages happened, the ocean retreated, leaving fossilized limestone. Our area where we grow our fruit is a World Heritage listed region, and it's been linked to the ocean since the very beginning. So our vineyards are the old Hidden Sea, it's the old seabed, it's the Hidden Sea, as we say. And where the story gets really interesting, you'll see a whale in our bottle. There's a vineyard down there where we source our some of our reds from. Underneath the vineyard still today lies in a cave an estimated 26 million year old fossilized whale. So 26 million years ago, there was a marine life thriving. There was a big whale. He got caught, and now he's part of our soils where we grow our grapes. So that's the story of the Hidden Sea.
That is very interesting. I had no idea about the dead whale.
Yeah. And I can take, one day when you come to Australia, I can take you, go underneath the vines and stare at his relics. It's, as I said, it's World Heritage listed, the whole region. But yeah, and that's, I knew I wanted to build a brand with purpose. I didn't know what. And I was connected to the ocean. I've been a part of ocean health or some way, whether it's on boards for over 10 years, longer than I've been part of the wine industry. And, you know, I go back to the climate change debate. I know it's important. However, I think we're selling it to the world the wrong way. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm not a scientist. I can just believe the data. But we're selling a political message. Every time we sell it, it's a political message. There's one side say it's true and one side says it doesn't. And instead of fixing it, we argue about why it's important. where plastic in the ocean, and now all of us are consuming a credit card's worth of microplastics in our diet, whether you're vegetarian, vegan, it's in our water, it's in our blood now. That's the latest studies. It's in our blood. And there's so many side effects that I won't talk about because I'm not a scientist. However, plastic, we all know plastic, we don't want to swim in it. It shouldn't be in our ocean, and we've got to get it out. It's certainly not the solution, but I wanted our brand to do something of purpose, and that's fitted our promise and purpose really well.
So there are a few things that you did bring up that I do want to go deeper into, but are you like a sustainable brand, or is that something that I can call you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're a fully sustainable wine brand, and this is a really interesting conversation. From our vineyards, 96% of them are organic. From our winery, it runs on solar, so it's off the grid. It's one of only four wineries in Australia of our size. We're quite large. We produce about 10 to 12 millilitres each year of wine. I don't know what that is in gallons, but about a million cases. So fully sustainable, water neutral wine brand. Then what we do with our packaging, it's either compostable or biodegradable. And obviously, you know the difference between the two. We're carbon neutral since vintage 22, except our being carbon neutral, which is another long topic we could talk about. It's firstly offsets and then credits, right? Basically the credits are basically when our stock leaves the winery and goes to America, for example, we're carbon neutral for that, but we've got to buy credits to offset it, which is not ideal. And going down the future, we're looking now sourcing in the US. So we start to use US grapes. We don't have that transport element. And then what we do with our promise, and you know, every time we sell one bottle, we remove the equivalent of 10 plastic bottles out of the ocean. One normal case of wine is 4.4 pounds of trash coming out of the ocean. Yeah, we are a fully sustainable winery, and we're in so many different organisations, and we meet or exceed a lot of our guidelines, whether it's Australian, New Zealand Plastic Pack, or Sustainable Grape Growers of Australia, or being carbon credits with the Australian government, which is the highest standard. We're always exceeding or meeting our requirements all the way through.
Perfect. So with that being said, as a sustainable company, are there any challenges that go into starting something where you're removing plastic from the ocean or doing something so large like that?
There's loads of challenges, but it's like very pragmatic. Don't worry about what tomorrow is going to bring you. Don't worry about yesterday. Really focus on what the challenge is today, right? And usually, doesn't matter how big or small they are, there's only one challenge at a time if we break it down. And it starts over a journey. Like I told the story of the hidden seed. It probably sounds all amazing. And how did you guys come up with this and the whale and all that? There's a bit of luck. There's a bit of hard work. And there's definitely consistency over time, which allows us to tell a story now. But everything is a challenge in its own right, but nothing's unsolvable. And if you put profit, which I've never had a job in my whole life, I don't come from money. I scrapped from my first business when I was 15 to today. And I've never got out of bed to make money. I've got out of bed to be a part of something, build a team, build a brand with purpose, have conversations like this. From my point of view, you just get started and you deal with the problem as they come up. And it's daily. That's what the challenge of our environment, and especially what we've gone through in the current two years, 1920, we had the worst bushfires in history. So we're an agricultural product. We lost vineyards, and if the vineyards we didn't lose, we had smoke taint. Straight after that, the vineyards we were still fruit, which was still available to use. We had massive floods, the worst floods in a generation. So the worst bushfire in a generation, 2 weeks after the worst floods, 2 weeks after that COVID hit. And then November, our biggest market on value and volume is China. They stopped all exports. And we're trying to build a plastic collection network in third world countries where we can't travel. And so there's a whole myriad of problems just in that small area. And diversity is very important, and being very single-minded at fixing one problem at a time, you can get over anything. And that will not to give up, because challenges will come. It's not reserved for the poor or the people with bad luck. We get as many good luck opportunities, bad luck opportunities, doesn't matter who you are. So from our point of view, there's loads of challenges, and I just gave you a couple then, but at the end of the day, if you believe in why you do what you do, you're passionate about it, and passion's an interesting thing, and you've got a reason to get out of bed every day, and that's why I referenced my children at the beginning of it. As a business, we've sold a considerable amount of wine in a short period of time, over 10 years, put us in the top 20 largest wineries out of 3,500 in Australia. But what does that mean to my kids? There's no benefit from them other than financial. So that's why being driven by a strong purpose, one wine, one mission, to remove plastic from the ocean, using our commerce to do well, then you build something which not only people like yourself can believe in, but the people who are closest to us can be really proud of, Paige.
And speaking of challenges, you mentioned having the goal of cleaning up 1 billion plastic bottles from the ocean by 2030. Can you explain how that specific goal came to be?
Yeah. Again, this is why I laugh at these type of questions, because really they should have a lot more insight. But we were doing some forecasting and numbers about how much plastic bottles we could remove out of the ocean over a period of time. So 10 years, you should set a goal, which is big, hairy, audacious, to use a Jim Collins metaphor, as a 10-year window as a start, to galvanize the people around you. And should be a 10-year window with key milestones. And we were looking at what we could do. We got to off the charts. Maybe we could do 500 million bottles within 10 years. This is when we're starting July 1 on this mission 2020 to remove a billion bottles by 2030. And then my business partner, Richie, the co-founder of The Hidden Sea, just says, why are we fucking around with half a billion? Let's make a billion, right? And then tell the world, and we can either work our ass off to get there or we fail. But at least we made a goal which was everyone could easily understand. That's how we came up with the billion. As part of our internal guiding principles and our hedgehog concept, you know, there's three things we need to ask ourselves internally. What are you passionate about? What's your economic engine? And what can you be best at the world at? And what we can be best at the world at is selling both inspirational and aspirational consumer products that contribute to removing plastic from the ocean. So we've left out internally that we could do other things along the way to remove plastic, but the goal is a billion. I don't know if it's going to be by June 30, 2030, we're going to hit it, or earlier or slightly later. But what I can assure you, I'm not giving up on this journey until we achieve it.
I love that. Well, I mean, you know, I try the wine and it's really good. And I know quite a few wine lovers. So last Christmas, I bought everyone sustainable product swaps that I love. So now I guess I can be like, hey, you want some wine? Because that's sustainable too. So looks like we'll be cleaning up the ocean this year with that's some right. Christmas presents. Oh, I love it. You say plastic bottles, and as that's the main focus, but your partnership with Reseed, I asked this question and I feel like I know the answer, but just to clarify for everyone listening who may not know, do they focus on just the plastic bottles, or do they clean up all of the trash? Because I cannot imagine someone going out there and being like, oh, there's a plastic bottle, I got to grab that, but not that like plastic bag or that chip bag or I God knows what else is in the ocean. So do they take up everything, or how does that work?
Yeah, really good question. As I mentioned before, I've been part of Ocean Health for longer than I've been in the wine industry. In my view, there's probably two leading organizations, the Ocean Cleanup guys who are tackling the Pacific garbage patches, and Reseed Project. And the reason I say that, they collect plastic out of the ocean. A lot of companies, and I won't mention them on the call, they're all doing great things, but they're using the land and around the ocean to collect plastic. They're actually collecting it out of the ocean, like both those companies I mentioned. So the only marketing spin that we use, because the one bottle equals 10, the way we collect and pay for it, and I'll talk in kilos, but we collect 1 kilo of plastic waste, or equivalent to 2.2 pounds of plastic waste. And in that each kilo we pay, which is $8, we pay as a brand, which is a significant cost, right? Six bottles, we remove a kilo or 2.2 pounds. We collect plastic waste. In that plastic waste, there's approximately 63, 64, 16 ounce water bottles equivalent weight. So we collect all that trash, that plastic out, but that's our marketing spend. So it's actually not bottles per se. However, funny enough, a lot of it's single use bottles, whether it's detergents all the way through to water bottles.
Anyone who listens to this podcast knows my rants on plastic water bottles. And I have so many reusable water bottles so that I can always have one and never have to be in a situation where I have to purchase a plastic water bottle, because I absolutely despise them. And I literally, you will not catch me dead with one of them unless I'm absolutely like dying and for some odd reason have no reusable water near me.
I traveled the world, and I think for my wife as well, but I haven't had a water bottle since 2020. Because I thought, wow, if I'm going to July 1, 2020, I haven't anywhere. Plastic water bottle and all the aircraft that I've traveled on, I've done 70 nights in hotels around the world this year already since January 1, and I haven't used one. And it's just to prove to myself we can drink the water out of the taps, you know. And I was in through Thailand and places like that. I bought glass bottles or I bought cans or I've sorted out. Now, plastic water bottle companies like PepsiCo and Coca-Cola, they don't make water. They make plastic bottles, right? So, and we don't need to have this. And people ask me, what can I do? I said, well, firstly, you go to the beach, take three for the sea. Just take three bits of plastic out of the beach. And the second thing, don't use plastic water bottles, don't use coffee cups, and don't use plastic utensils or takeaway stuff. You know, don't use that. You don't need to, because it's got to go somewhere. It goes either into third world countries, into landfill, it's burnt. And you probably know this stuff, that only 9% of all plastic produced since the 50s has been recycled. Only 9%. And I reckon that you and I and all the people listening to this podcast who have consumed plastic would have thought they're doing the right thing by putting in their plastic recycling bin. And it doesn't get recycled because it costs way too much money to recycle.
Well, I very much agree with you on that. So before we end everything here, and I gotta say, it was absolutely amazing having you on and getting to hear more about your amazing company and what you're doing for the planet to make it more green and hopefully plastic free. One day we'll get there. Is there any question that you wish I had asked? Because everyone's got like I really wish I would have asked that question, or I wanted to tell you about this, but it wasn't brought up. Is there anything like that that you wish I would have asked?
No. Funny you asked that question, because it's like the elevator pitch, right? You've got to get the messages in straight away. It's our purpose, it's our promise, and it's who we sell wine to. And then when people want to know more about us, they can go to our website, thehiddenseed.com. They can follow us on Instagram to see our tribe and how it's growing around the world and the difference we're making. We just did a crazy stunt where we did 31 beach cleanups in 31 locations around the world. So from Croatia to Sydney to Bondi to New York to Sweden, Copenhagen, you know, we did it around the world. And it was just people who believe in what we believe in. I think we did 38 different beaches around the world. So we've got a crazy stunt coming up of COP27, which I can't tell you right now, wish I could, but it's got to do with pulling plastic out of the Nile and playing with the pyramids. So
Ooh,
go for that, yeah, to raise some awareness of how crazy plastic is. But like all those conferences, COP27, all the world leaders will fly in private jets and then fly out in private jets and talk about sustainability for a week. While people like you and I, going back to your point, are just doing our little bit, and that's all we can ask.
So back to the ocean cleanup, you mentioned going around the world and doing that. Is that something that like average Joe like me could join in on?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So we work with our ambassadors. We've got about 250 ambassadors, influencers who believe in what we believe in. We don't pay them like a traditional influencer. And then we do beach cleanups. And so the next time we're doing something in California, yeah, I'll let you know, and you'd be a part of it. But as I always say, every time you go to the beach, just take three for the seat. You know, pick up three bits of plastic on the way out. It's always there. Yeah, and it's crazy when you get a sieve and you go through the sand, the microplastics, the amount, you don't see them with your eye, but when you get into the sand, you'll see them everywhere. You know, whether it's cigarette butts, which are made out of plastic, the filters or whatever it is. So plastics everywhere. So I did a wine tasting on Venice Beach page. Next time I do one of those, you can come down and you can join me. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm always down for a wine tasting. So one last question, Justin. What does being green mean to you?
What does being green to me means? You know, I think for me, it's the word sustainability gets thrown around a lot. But if you're consciously thinking about being green or sustainable, you consciously will start to make small but significant long-term changes in the way you go about it. And there's a great analogy. If you go to the gym once or twice, do you see the difference? No, of course not. Is it 1 week? Is it 2 weeks before you start to see the difference? Who knows when that thing is? But you will, if you go to the gym, you will lose weight or you will tone your body up. And from my point of view, it's this simple. If you start to do those little things with discipline and consistency over a period of time, you will see change not only in your small environment, but with your friends and for that matter, over a period of time globally. And I think that's what being green means to me. And life's not easy being green, I think Kermit said, right?
It's not easy being green, but we should all be green because we only have one planet. We only have one home and we can't go anywhere else. So why not do what we can to make it the best and keep it nice and livable?
We're all citizens of the world. Mm-hmm. There's only one ocean. We're all made from the same material and we revert back to the same material. We all have an important role as we're all interconnected via our ocean.
I love that. Well, I just want to say thank you, Justin, for coming on Color Me Green and sharing your sustainable journey and all about the Hidden Sea. And everyone who wants to check them out, all of their information will be in the show notes below.
Thank you so much, Paige, for having me on Color Me Green.
I want to thank you for listening to today's episode of Color Me Green. New episodes are coming out weekly, and hopefully each one has something you can take away and learn from. If you want to request a certain topic to discuss, please feel free to message me on the show's Instagram at Color Me Green Podcast, linked in the show notes. If you love today's episode, please make sure to leave a review, as I will be randomly picking reviews every week as they roll in to read on the show. One of the best ways to help change the world is to share this episode with a friend and let them also learn what they can do to live more sustainably. And please remember to reduce, reuse, recycle, and live green. See you next week.